Thank you for the very nice reception. I kind of figured that because Maranaika was a very important member of our Polish festival tour in Poland, and we trained him how to receive guests, I'd probably have to get a little bit of my own medicine when I came here. I actually sent him a text message, please no reception. And he wrote back, Gurudev, you really know how to break my heart. So I thought that was it, you know. But then I was in the car coming from the airport and I said to Sundananda Gopal, is there going to be a reception? He said, I'm not supposed to say. So I got ready for it. But I'm very happy to be here again after two very long years. But as they say, separation makes the heart grow fonder. And we're very happy to be bathing in the very auspicious, benevolent, and merciful glance of Srila Prabhupada's beloved deities, Shishi Radha Gopinath. I think perhaps that some of the devotees who have come with us from Europe don't know that Srila Prabhupada personally brought these deities, brought Radha and Krishna here to Sydney, Australia. So they have a very wonderful pastime in that regard. And they're extremely merciful deities. They're benedicting the entire New South Wales, and for that matter, the entire country of Australia. So we're very happy to be here again, serving under their auspicious glance. This is actually the meaning of darshan, that we come to see the beautiful Archavigraha form of the Lord, which is none different than Krishna, none different than Srimati Radhika. But it also means that the Lord sees us with his transcendental vision. He looks into our hearts and he sees whatever obstacles are there between us and him on the path of devotion. And ever so gradually, ever so tenderly, he removes those anarthas like lust and anger and greed, thus giving us the chance to awaken our bhakti. And without his grace, actually this would not be possible. This is the special nature of bhakti, is that truly we have God on our side. There's a famous quote to that effect, with God on our side. But this is a fact in Krishna consciousness. And Gopinath, master of the gopis, he wants us all back home in the spiritual world. So he facilitates, of course, it requires our effort as well. But Lord is very kind, he takes the initiative, thus encouraging us. So we always like to come to Sydney because of their auspicious presence here, and because Prabhupada loved them so much and brought them here for us to worship. And we're happy to see a temple room full of so many devotees. Of course, I know half of you are from the Polish festival tour. But nevertheless, we're all servants of Radha Gopinath for the next, well, month and a half. We came here from India. We had a wonderful month-long parikrama with over 300 devotees. We started in Sri Vrindavan Dham for 10 days, and then we joined His Holiness Radhanath Swami in Mayapur. He had a little bit bigger group. He had 4,000 devotees, because he's a very big devotee. And after that ecstatic experience in Sridham Mayapur, we went to Jagannath Puri, and we spent about 8 days in Jagannath Puri. We were not only swimming and diving in the ocean that is there, but also swimming and diving in the ocean of Bhakti Ras, because that is a very special place, Gorgovinda Maharaj, called Puri Vipralamba Bhav Dham. The Dham where one experiences intense separation from Radha and Krishna. This mood was demonstrated, of course, by Lord Chaitanya. He appeared in this world for two reasons: to inaugurate the Sankirtan movement and to experience the divine loving sentiments of Srimati Radharani. He established the Sankirtan movement in Navadvip, Mayapur, and he spread those holy names all over India. And the last 18 years of his life he reserved for that confidential reason that he appeared in Jagannath Puri. So it's a very wonderful place, and we had exceptionally nice time visiting all those holy places, many new places which we had never yet discovered by the mercy of Madhavananda. He's kind of the Dinabandhu, you know, Dinabandhu of Vrindavan. So Madhavananda is the Dinabandhu of Jagannath Puri. So from India we came through Hong Kong, and then we arrived this morning in Sydney. This is covering at least three or four continents, I believe, passing through three countries, actually. But because of the nature of this Krishna conscious movement being all pervasive by the order of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he declared to his followers 500 years ago that he would like his holy name to be sung in every town and village of the world. And wherever those pure names are sung, they're going to melt the hearts of certain conditioned souls who are going to take up the process of devotional service. So it was my great pleasure that although I traveled such a long distance, I only know it because of the jet lag, but actually it was like going from one room to the next in the same house. It wasn't as if we traveled halfway around the world. It was just as if we went from one room of Krishna consciousness to the next room of Krishna consciousness, to the next room of Krishna consciousness. For example, when we left Vrindavan, naturally, even a very much an aspiring devotee as myself, still, I felt some separation from Sri Vrindavan Dham. I'm sure all of you have also experienced that, having been there. You feel so much separation from the mercy of the Dham when you leave. But when I got to the Delhi, which is just the opposite of Vrindavan, and I went to the airport, which is one of the worst airports in the world, and I went through immigration, I checked my bags, and I went through immigration, then I went whatever, and then I got through security, and I went into the big hall. There were like hundreds and hundreds of people waiting for their flights. All of a sudden I saw there were devotees everywhere. And this is well after Kartik had finished. Generally, after Prabhupada's disappearance day, most devotees start making their way home from Vrindavan, or from many of the dhams, back to work, back for the Christmas marathon. I was surprised. There were devotees everywhere, from all different countries, speaking different languages. And when I walked in, then, oh, Maharaj, Harimo, Jai Harimo, Maharaj, Harimo, Harimo. And then we got a little group there, and we had about, I don't know, quite a large group of devotees. Everyone's flight was about an hour and a half away. Maharaj, could you give class? You know those flights at 1 o'clock in the morning? Krishna consciousness transcends all time, so it's eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Dhanabalaba Girivare. One of the devotees had one of these little tiny sound systems that, I don't know, you make announcements with, and put it there, and there we were, giving Bhagavatam class. And then the karmis started coming. And then I finished, I said, which I don't usually do, are there any questions? Sir, could you explain the difference between Shiva and Krishna? Sir, why did Krishna leave Vrindavan? Here in the Delhi airport. Why did he marry 16,108. Why not 16,109? So the questions and answers period was especially nice, and we had been maybe 50 people, 20 devotees. So finally the security had to come over. "Excuse me, sir, people are going to miss their flights." One man said, "No, no, it doesn't matter. I want the answer to my question." The security, they were going to come and like pick me up or something. So I said, "We'll meet again." "Where will we meet, sir? I want to know. Give me your address." So I had some little business cards. I was handing my cards out. Security grabbed the cards. "Let them go. They're going to miss their flight. You're going to close down the airport." Oh, sir. So then everybody went their separate ways. And then I flew to Hong Kong. And when I got to Hong Kong, I had to wait about 13 hours from my flight. So I had a business class ticket, and I went to the business class lounge. And when one of the ladies saw me, she said, Chinese lady, she said, "Oh, you're from Hare Krishna?" I said, "Yes." She said, "I will take you to first class lounge." "Oh, all right." So we went back upstairs and went to first class lounge, which was like Svargaloka. And all the people in first class lounge are very wealthy, because business class tickets expensive enough. You can imagine what a first class ticket costs on these airplanes. It's just astronomical. So these people are like heads of companies and, you know, millionaires and, you know, movie stars and, you know. But I was in Karmi clothes because I had to go through Hong Kong, and I figured there might be some trouble if I wasn't in Karmi clothes. So I sat down on this leather sofa. And there was this very distinguished man in a, I guess you call it, pinstripe suit, a dark blue but very thin. And he was sitting there reading The Economist and speaking with a few friends. I could tell he was like the big guy, and he's speaking to a few friends. And he had a Rolex watch on, and he's balding and talking, going on. He looks over to me and he says, "So, where are you going?" I said, "Sir, I'm going to Australia." He said, "Oh, what are you going to do there?" So just to ease into the conversation, I said, "Oh, I'm going to give some spiritual discourses." He said, "Some spiritual discourses." He said, "Where have you come from?" I said, "I've come from India." He said, "Oh, India. India is where they practice yoga, yes?" I said, "Yes, that's where it starts there." We started up a conversation, and I said something about Buddhism just to kind of whet his appetite, because, you know, people are really into Buddhism these days. So I thought, you know, maybe he's a worldly man, so maybe he's heard something about Buddhism. So I said, "In Buddhism they practice renunciation." He said, "Buddhism is not the goal, sir." I said, "Oh, really?" He said, "Yes, Srila Prabhupada says in Srimad Bhagavatam." He said that to me. "Srila Prabhupada says in Srimad Bhagavatam." I said, "Oh my God." "This Prabhupada calls this nirvishesha shunyavadi. It is voidism. It is even worse than the Mayavadis." I was like stunned. I said, "Excuse me, sir, how do you know these things?" I said, I read Srila Prabhupada's books. I said, "Well, where did you get them?" He said, "Son, I've been traveling through airports since I was, you know, a young businessman. I have plenty of the Hare Krishna books." But he said, "I take them quite seriously." I said, "Well, sir, you want to know something?" I had a baseball cap on. "I'm a Hare Krishna." So he said, "I've always wanted to talk to one of you. You've always been too busy in the airports that I could have a lengthy discussion, because I go through New York and this." So he said, "Let's have a discussion." So we talked for 2.5 hours. And he gave me his card. It was something to do with oil. Black gold. Texas tea. Anyway. So we had a very nice conversation. And I was just amazed. Here's a man who's never been to a temple. He'd never been to a festival. He'd never been to a Ratha Yatra. He'd only met devotees in the airports. And he was reading Prabhupada, and he quoted. He said, no, Buddhism is not the rule. This is Nirvishesha Shunyavadi. This is voidism, he said. He'd learned these things. And I felt that here I am in the first class lounge in the Hong Kong airport, Cathay Pacific. It's just like Vaikuntha. Because for a lot of the time I was there, I was just preaching Krishna consciousness. So I gave one lecture there, then I gave another lecture there. And then today, when Sundarananda Gopal and myself, when I landed, we went to visit the audiologist because I needed some repair work on my hearing aids. And then a very nice lady comes out. She's the audiologist. She's the hearing aid specialist. And then when we're about to leave, she pulls her hands in pranams like this, and she bows. And she gives us a very big discount on one piece I needed for my hearing aid. She gave us something, $100 off or something. You know, she was very kind, but she was very respectful. So although there wasn't any exchange of words or knowledge like that, Sundarananda concluded that she was some type of spiritual person who had the understanding that when you meet someone who's in saffron or renounced order, that you should offer respects like this. So in this way, I felt that although I'd gone from a great distance of many thousands and thousands of miles, it was as if I just walked into one room, which was like part of Prabhupada's house, and then I opened the door and went into another room. And as I was driving here to the temple, I was thinking, yes, it is a fact, Srila Prabhupada has built a house in which the whole world can live. And we're very fortunate that in our lifetimes, we're seeing that house gradually fill up. Because there were the days that even in your own hometown, when you first joined, people didn't have a clue of what was Krishna consciousness. And now we're getting a little idea what it might be like in the future when Lord Chaitanya's prediction actually becomes true, and there's many, many devotees. One time in Detroit, Prabhupada told us that if only 1% of the population became Krishna conscious, it would have a great effect on the Earth planet. So who knows? These things may come to pass. Of course, we have a lot of work to do. I think there's something like 5.5 billion people. I only met 3 or 4 on the way from India. But it's indicative. Prabhupada was walking on the beach one time in Mumbai. This is early in the movement, early 70s. And nowadays it's commonplace, but in those days it wasn't at all commonplace. One little girl walked by and folded her hands, 7 or 8 years old. Hare Krishna, Swamiji. Prabhupada said, see, this is a sign that our movement is spreading all over the world. The devotee said, but Prabhupada, she's just one little girl. Prabhupada said, no, here we have the ocean. You take just one drop from that ocean, you taste it, you can understand what the whole ocean is like. So here's one little girl, very reverentially, Hare Krishna Swamiji, indicating our movement is spreading very quickly. But again, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, he would not rest. He said, I will be happy only when the 14 worlds are chanting Hare Krishna. This is the vision of the Vaishnava. That he will not rest, or she will not rest, until at least everyone has the opportunity to hear about Krishna. And it's for that purpose that we've come to Australia with a rather large group this time. Usually when we come alone or maybe one servant. But again, as we look around, we see many devotees from our Polish festival tour. Our hope is that this festival program over the next month during this holiday season will somehow attract the hearts of the people of this country.